It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. Let's talk about your brain. The brain that is basically your gateway to the world. And if you don't keep it healthy, then your life is not going to be so great. And do we really take care of our brain? Or do we take care of it like we take care of our body in general, the public population? Kind of, we get into routines because we always seek comfort. But of course, novelty is the thing that really the brain actually craves that.
Yeah, I would say we do not take care of our brain in general because most of us are scrolling social media, which is making our brain a big blob of nothing.
Well, that's the truth.
So I have here 10 hobbies that have been proven to protect your brain as you age. Number one is meditation. It's not too late to start a meditation practice this year. It improves memory, executive function, attention. Of course, there's also emotional benefits of meditation that can improve the brain structures and make things better. But I think in the West, meditation is kind of a hard sell.
Mm-hmm.
It is so hard to quiet the mind for even just a little bit. I mean, heck, we're the people who scroll at stoplights.
Right.
We don't like downtime whatsoever. We've got to get that monkey chattering in our brain.
But we don't want to control our breathing and just have 15 quiet minutes.
15 minutes? Are you nuts?
That's hard to do.
That's valuable YouTube time.
A buddy a couple of years ago challenged me. It was a New Year's resolution type thing. Can we do 10 minutes of meditation a day for, I think it was the first 90 days of the year? And we both did it. I just found 10 minutes, sat in a chair, mm-hmm. quiet part of the day, and did it. And I loved it, but man, is it hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard. And you never get there. You never get, even the monks struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
You never get to a point where you've completely quieted the mind for 2 hours. 10 minutes is really tough, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time that we all recommit to that and attempting it once again. Dancing, they say, is one of the most complete brain workouts available.
Wow.
Yeah, because it combines aerobic exercise, memory, coordination, rhythm, and social engagement.
Hmm.
So it activates multiple brain systems at once if you're dancing.
Interesting.
Okay.
And I am the world's worst dancer.
Me too.
Like, I never would go out and dance just for recreation because way too self-conscious and way too, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Right. I've always looked at people and never understood why they like to dance. Because I hate it so much.
I guess it seems like girls are always naturally more inclined to dance than guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, girls would just go out dancing. Or was that just code for them going to meet other guys?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, I think I would say they enjoy dancing and Dancing with the Stars more than guys do.
That show?
Yeah.
There's some guys who really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
They call it one of the most powerful ways to boost brain health.
Okay.
So take a dancing class. A 2018 study found that older adults who participated in dance training showed improvements in balance and attention, along with increases in hippocampal volume.
What is that?
Compared with those doing standard exercise. So it's a better exercise than standard exercise when it comes to the brain.
The hippocampus grows.
Yes.
It's healthy.
Yes. You ever visited a hippocampus? It's great. I mean, they're all learning,
yeah.
And it's. I went to
Hutto High School once, or the Hutto Hippo, mm-hmm. So I was on their campus.
Word and number games, crossword puzzles, Wordle, Sudoku, those provide a deceptively powerful cognitive workout.
Yeah, I've always heard that, but I got to tell you, I don't enjoy those activities.
I find those pretty fun, but I never really do them regularly. But every time I do a puzzle, I always think, that was fun.
My dad did a crossword puzzle every day. and he stayed sharp. His mind was sharp till he passed at 88.
Pretty good.
He knew words that I'd never heard of, and I had no idea that he knew, but mm-hmm. he knew them.
Here's a good one, I think, for us, Giorgio.
Okay.
Walking.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, right?
Yep.
Just walking. But can be profoundly effective for both the body and the brain when consistently done with others. Hmm. Older adults who walked regularly experienced increased hippocampal volume and improved memory compared with sedentary people of their same age group. And the aerobic movement, of course, increases blood flow and helps form new neurons and things. But if you have planned walks or hikes with a friend or a small group, it's a great way to socialize as well, which is huge for your mental mm-hmm. health and your mental sharpness. As you sharpen your mind up against the sword of another, and you're talking and you're being accountable with a friend, too. If you have a walking group or a walking partner,
yeah.
you're always getting together, so you're inclined to do it regularly because there's another person you're doing it with or persons, and you're socializing at the same time.
Does a dog count?
No.
Connor and I have daily conversations. We go for
no.
walks every day.
No, I think that is atrophying your mind.
Talking to a dog.
Yes. Learning a new language. Yeah, I'm going to cross that
let's
one
skip
off
over
the
that
list.
One.
Yeah,
what's
we'll
the
just
next
go
one?
Ahead and skip. But they do show that bilingualism is associated with delayed onset of dementia symptoms. So if somebody's already bilingual, I guess people who know multiple languages.
You're good.
Don't get the dementia as much as others.
Because
of hippocampal volume.
That's well said.
I've always said if a genie appeared to me and could give me one wish. You know, outside of world peace,
mm-hmm.
end of suffering, and $1 billion and all that, I would want to know 5 languages fluently of my choice. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
What would be the one? I'd choose all dead languages except for English.
Spanish for sure. French for sure. Probably whatever the big one is in Asia. Is it Mandarin or Japanese? I don't know. One of those. I think that
offensive.
Would be. Why is that offensive?
I don't know.
No
just
offense
sounds offensive.
To the.
Huh.
No disrespect.
Maybe something like Portuguese. I think that'd be interesting. Italian.
Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese.
Don't George, wouldn't you like to learn Russian?
Look at these.
Oh, I know. I know a lot of Russian.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ya dostavigo la manadisa.
Again, it sounds more Italian.
And it doesn't match what they're singing. Another one is puzzles. Now, this ties in with the making your brain crazy part, because we had a P1 that sent us up. We each got a puzzle. And it was a very sweet gift and a very nice gift. I don't know if you guys have opened up your puzzles yet, but he and his son, I think he said in his letter, they have a small puzzle company that make, you know, like jigsaw puzzles.
It's incredible. What was that material they were made out of?
It seemed like acrylic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the puzzle pieces weren't cardboard. They were made out of cut acrylic. And on each puzzle was a personalized picture for each one of us. Like mine was this big picture of me and my mother that was in the Dallas Morning News when I wrote a piece about her. And so it's a very meaningful picture. George, he sent you one of yourself playing guitar up on stage because he knew that would be the most meaningful to you.
It's about me on stage, so I loved it.
Yeah, right.
It's all about me.
And June's, I forget what yours was.
It was a picture of our daughter.
Yeah, that's right. Picture of your daughter.
And she put that puzzle together the second I brought it home.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so that was. Now, I think it'd make you kind of crazy, though, doing a puzzle of yourself and seeing yourself so much of the time and looking for pieces of yourself. But isn't that metaphorical?
In a way,
it's a very interesting idea. Putting oneself together. But thank you, P1, for doing that.
Yeah,
I
really
appreciate
nice.
That. It was a very sweet, sweet thing you did. But yes, puzzles require visual, perception, planning, memory, sustained attention, and often done alongside others. So you get a little bit of that social aspect of working with someone and talking. And yeah, I go through periods of time where we're big on puzzles and there's a few puzzles going around the household and taking up valuable table space for at least 6 months.
That's the thing is once you accomplish it, great accomplishment,
yeah,
good for your brain, but then what do you do with it? How long do you leave it on the table? Like we had some of our kids in town this weekend and they did a puzzle, mm-hmm, and it's still on the dining room table.
Yeah. No, don't take it apart yet. Yeah.
We just finished it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I know, but you finished it. It's done. Goal accomplished.
I wonder how long that thing will be on there.
Some people do the weird thing of framing puzzles and hanging it on a wall.
Spray it with something.
Yeah. And
I think that's weird.
That is a little weird. But I guess it's to preserve a memory and look at it and always have that memory of the person you did it with, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was a deal on the thing.
On the deal.
Learning a musical instrument to battle any cognitive decline is very, very good for you. Brain imaging shows improvements in motor skills, sound processing, coordination, and research found that in twins, the one who played an instrument was significantly less likely to develop dementia or cognitive impairment than the one who did not.
Interesting. Dang. That's why you guys probably have noticed I've been really sharp lately because I'm learning to play the harmonica.
You really have been playing it?
Yeah, I have. Okay.
Learning to play it, like you have a teacher and everything.
I have YouTube videos teaching me.
Okay. All right, well, that's something.
Yeah, quit diminishing everything I do.
No, isn't harmonica? I mean, to play it like John Popper or something like that, it's different. But in general, isn't harmonica pretty easy? Because you just pick one that's in the key of what you're playing in, and if you breathe in and out anywhere on that thing, it basically sounds good.
Again, why are you diminishing everything
and once again,
I do?
I really support you. This next one, I don't think any of us will take up, but knitting.
No way.
There are several skips on that list, but I could do most of them, I think.
Can you knit?
No.
Have you ever tried to?
Yeah, I think I did.
Wait,
my
what?
Mom,
you what? Tried knitting?
Yeah, well, Mom had a kit, and I remember asking her, hey, how does that work? And did it for a while.
Now, I've crocheted.
Is that the same?
Well, that's not the same thing, but no. I've crocheted, but I've never knitted.
Yeah.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, what's the difference between crochet and knitting?
Well, crochet is with those little bitty needles, you know, smaller needles.
Yeah.
Knitting has those huge
big ones?
Chopsticks.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I've done both of those things.
Have you ever tried any of these things, Junes?
No.
You plan on it?
No, I have no interest in knitting.
Well, knitting requires planning, memory, sequencing, problem solving, trial and error. Because you're, and that kind of, the way it's described reminds me a lot of Lincoln Logs.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to build something with Lincoln Logs?
Been a while.
Not since I was seven.
I think it's surprisingly difficult. Like when I was older and my nieces and nephews were little, my dad had these huge Lincoln log sets, you know, for the grandkids to play with and stuff. And so he'd pull those out and you'd start trying to build something and you'd realize it's a lot like woodworking because you have to think ahead. It's a lot of trial and error because you'll get up, build up, and then you're like, no, I can't do it that way or else I can't. This cross member is not going to work here. You have to tear back down and then start again. And so it teaches you how to think ahead and pieces that you actually need to construct what's inside your head.
It always seemed like with my Lincoln Log kit that you had the planks, those little end pieces, and then like a plastic roof to put on it.
Yeah.
You
do have a plastic, some plastic elements like doors and stuff I think you can put in.
Yeah.
But yeah, plastic roof. But you can make a complicated structure with Lincoln Logs. And then finally, painting.
Just sit down and paint.
Yes, just sit down and paint, or any visual art like that.
I could see that.
But painting reduces, they say that art reduces cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone, and that's linked to memory impairment and accelerated cognitive aging. especially when it's chronically elevated, your cortisol, you know, mm-hmm. so you got to do things. That's why meditation and things like that is so important. But painting also does that, and it trains sustained attention when you're having to paint something. So that's why I basically do a version of this. I've made it more efficient. I take a picture with my phone of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that way there's my painting. I got, I got it done. Yeah. Done. I'll knock it out in a second.
Yeah.
I would love to start painting, but I'm scared.
Why?
That I'm not going to be able to do it.
That's kind of difficult.
Yeah, it looks difficult.
At least
difficult.
For me it is.
I think it would be.
Like, everyone in my family was able to do drawing and painting, all that kind of stuff. And I remain on a sixth grade level to this day.
Me too, except for the brilliant piece of mosquito.
Yeah, we did have mosquito.
Yeah.
That we need to have.
But I'd say that I showed that to an art teacher, and she said, you know, that's really an interesting drawing. I said, really?
Gosh,
I did it in like 2.3 seconds.
Please. And then also joining a book club.
Okay.
All right.
Now, Craig, you read books, but you don't have a book club. And no. I don't think I've ever been in a book club.
No.
Where you meet and talk about the book.
There's somebody in my house that does that. Seems like a more of a
social
wine club membership than a book club membership.
I think a lot of book clubs need to be relabeled wine clubs. Wine clubs, bitching about the one that didn't show up and what's going on in her life, and I'm really getting worried about her because of so and so, and he just doesn't treat her right, and.
We'll talk about the book next time.
Yeah, we'll get to it next time. Next time. So there you go. Let's all keep our brains healthy.
All right. Good advice. That's the ODEC.